to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite.
Now here we go. We're gonna for break. Okay, ready.
Here we go.
Said the little lamb, people everywhere.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
It's ringing through the sky, through everyone, everywhere.
Here, oh, this on, isn't working.
Do you hear what I hear?
I'm abandoning this. We're going
to. Do you hear what I hear?
No, not at all. Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX. That didn't work out. I'm not a singer.
Guess is going to hang up any second.
Yeah, I know. And I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J., Erdo, Trish, Eric, and Kathleen. You're the singer, I'm not.
Well, Dave, you get to echo me. It was very simple.
Do you hear what I hear?
Now it's all right. Too late. But Breakthrough Entertainment, Songs Made Scary by Horror Movies, Christmas Edition.
Yes.
Eric, I know you've seen Gremlins.
Yes, of course.
And this song is from Gremlins. Johnny Mathis singing,
that was more of a
Do
comedy
You Hear What I Hear? Yeah, but it was kind of, well, same thing with Krampus.
Dancing in the night. Let us bring him silver and gold.
What is he, an opera guy?
Oh
what is going on?
Come on.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Going to.
This is, yeah, I think he did.
It's scary.
Anyway, we're really excited right now because joining us is someone who is playing in the 20, maybe 23, 27 roles in a Christmas carol for the Arizona Theater Company. Let's welcome Katie McFadden. Katie, how are you?
I'm very well, Dave. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for calling in. I can't wait. We're scheduled to see this, I believe, next Sunday, a week from tomorrow, 1 o'clock show. I believe great. That's opening weekend.
It is, yes.
And I can't even imagine, before we go in your background, how someone can play, whether it's 23 or 27 roles. I mean, how do you, I can't even play one role. Now, how do you really do that? Take us through that. What it takes to be able to actually perform in one play 23 roles?
Well, just the way the story is played out, it's a combination of narration and dialogue between characters. And sometimes the characters only say one line. So our goal in rehearsal was to come up with something physical and vocal that could distinguish that character from another.
You know,
and so there's some scenes where I'm flipping back and forth, you know, having dialogue with three characters all together. That gets a little confusing, but that's what rehearsal's for.
Yeah, but I imagine you have to rehearse a lot because, I mean, just to remember there's 23 or so characters and the order, the sequence, and when you have to speak to who and how do you respond, that's talent.
It's a technical skill as well, though, because in rehearsal, you're mapping out the movement of the piece. And so connecting what you're saying with a physical movement really helps you to remember, especially the order of things.
Well, on the Arizona Theater Company's website, I think they have it right where they call you a one-woman tour de force.
Oh, my.
Because you truly are. And just looking at this picture, you are Scrooge. And we sat behind you, just a couple rows behind you at Disgraced.
Uh-huh.
And so I saw you when they introduced you afterwards during the question and answer period before we did that. You know, they introduced you and you stood up and turned. And I'm looking and I'm going, this can't be the same lady. But so you really transform yourself, not just your voice and your behaviors and your looks. I mean, your face, you're using your face to be able to be these characters as well. Have you done a lot of one-woman shows? Or
I have not. This is my first one-woman show. I work for Child's Play Theater Company in Tempe and have for the past 22 or so years. And in many of the productions that we do there, we play multiple characters. So I've had quite a lot of experience playing several characters in one story, but this is the first time I'm doing it all by myself.
Wow. I guess they call that schizophrenia. No, I'm just teasing.
How excited are you? I mean, are you, you know, before it starts, and I guess it starts next week, next Friday, I believe.
Yeah,
actually.
Previews next Friday.
Yeah.
The Fantasyland Diaries previews on Thursday, and then mine previews on Friday.
That's right. And how do you feel just before it opens? I mean, like either whether today or maybe a day before. The butterflies start kicking in,
definitely. Yeah. You definitely get nervous before you perform. I think that if I didn't get nervous, I would be concerned.
Yeah.
So, and always the first performance is the scariest, or the one that makes me feel the most nervous. And then you kind of settle in a little bit, but you always get a little bit of a butterfly before you go on. It's more kind of an adrenaline excitement.
But I suspect you don't want the butterflies to distract you. So
no,
I bet when you hit the stage, it's almost like an anchor that all of a sudden, boom, you're in character and mm-hmm. you pretty much don't, you're probably not really thinking of anything except it just flows out of you, right?
With a show like this, I think about it this way. Like I'm standing in line at the roller coaster. And then I put that harness down on me, and then it starts to go up the hill. And the second it goes down the hill, there's no turning back.
Gotcha. You know, you're right. That's a really good point. But mm-hmm. it's sort of like athletics, I think. Because, you know, I've given, you know, I'm not an actor at all. But you know, I've given public, you know, like speeches and seminars mm-hmm. and, of course, on the radio. But it's almost like when you're in the zone, you know it. It's like an athlete, you know, mm-hmm. athlete where they're, you know, you heard the term they're in the zone. It's like they're just in the present moment. Nothing. Mm-hmm. They don't think about the past, the future. They're just there. And
that's a great comparison.
Yeah. Is that how you feel too?
Absolutely. And you have to stay in the moment and connected to what you're doing and not be distracted by anything else in order to keep it moving forward.
Do you use that technique in life itself to be in the present moment?
No, I don't think so. I'm a Gemini, and so I'm kind of scattered all over the place most of the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think I do fairly well at focusing in when I need to. So.
Yeah. Well, Christmas Carol, that's the mm-hmm. old classic, right?
And, mm-hmm. Yep.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, so is this pretty much following that line? Do you have twists and turns in this one?
Well, what we did, Matthew Weiner, who directs the piece, he and I started meeting back in August, and we took the novella, and then we also found an edited version that Dickens himself had edited that he would use when he did public readings of A Christmas Carol. Mm. Because if he were to read the whole thing, it would have taken about 3 hours, probably. And so we put them side by side, and we kind of cut and pasted pieces together to create the script that I use. They're all Dickens words. We haven't added anything in. We've certainly edited. I think it's running about an hour and 20 minutes total. So some of the characters have gone away, but a lot of the ones you'll recognize, like the Cratchit family and
Scrooge
himself, obviously. Yeah.
Very cool.
When you finish, are you just like emotionally and physically exhausted?
You know, the first time in rehearsal that I did a run through, when I was done, I felt like I just wanted to lie down and be done. Yeah, it's kind of like when you're in the middle of it, all of a sudden you're going, oh, wow, I only have this much left and the story's over. So you kind of lose yourself in what's happening. And then by the time it's done, there's definitely a moment for a very deep breath and a large glass of water.
I'm sure. I can only imagine. I mean, we've seen, you know, we've seen people who, even though it's not technically a one-man show, but like mm-hmm. Terry Fader with his puppets where, you know, he's mm-hmm. the voice of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... just watching it, I'm amazed, and so I can't wait to see your performance up there on the stage. You know, I think that's going to be exciting. Now, your work at Child's Play, if it's okay if I take you to that.
Sure.
This is exciting stuff. Can you talk a little bit about that?
About Child's Play?
Yes.
Sure. Child's Play has been around for 39 years.
Amazing.
And as I mentioned before, I've been with the company for about 22 seasons. And there's a core of four artists that are long-term artists with the company. And so we've worked together for years and years and years. And when that happens, you create special relationships on stage. And you can kind of just finish each other's sentences and read each other's minds. And it creates a really wonderful relationship on the stage. We've done lots of original plays that were written by Dwayne Hartford, who is the artistic director designate because David Sarr, the current artistic director, is in his last season and will be retiring in June.
Because he was the he was the main founder, right?
Absolutely, yep, since the beginning. So one of the cool things is that Duane has written characters specifically for us in several of the plays that he's written. He's got a new adaptation of a Peter Pan story. It's called Pete or The Return of Peter Pan. That's going to be happening in May. And I get to play a lady pirate in that, and I'm stoked about it.
That is good. That should be good, too.
Well, you know, when we were talking to Hershey Felder, and we were talking about the arts and how, thankfully, there is still such interest in live theater, you know, but it is such a huge undertaking. And I really think with something like Child's Play, where children are a part of this and they learn about it, and they actually, I think you guys have three touring shows during the year. I mean, this teaches them and gets them to learn and appreciate. And even if they don't go on to become actors, they have that appreciation, and you're
they become
really,
audiences.
Yes, you're really, really getting that next generation involved. It's so important, especially with some of the more underprivileged children whose parents probably could never afford to take them to the theater.
I just got a message on Facebook from one of my students from Child's Play from years ago, who's now an adult, and was saying, "Oh, I can't wait to come see Christmas Carol." And I thought, "Yay, there's one we caught." Yeah. So hopefully there'll be people that have seen us over the years that will be coming to both shows, because the Santaland Diaries is going to be a riot as well. Ron May is one of the funniest people I know.
And that's you with the reindeer antlers, right?
Yes.
That is too cute. And I also had to see, you know, this is the way my mind thinks, and I think you'll appreciate it because you're into comedy. But as I was just kind of glancing through some of this information, it said that Child Plays annual programming includes 9 months of in-house productions. And I thought, that's how long it is to have a baby, you know, and that's kind of what you're doing. You guys are giving birth to these productions and to these babies, you know, and then as you see them come back home, you know, to visit like your the other person. That's awesome.
Now, Katie, you know, I'm looking at the news release from the Arizona Theater Company. Again, your play starts next Friday, I believe the 11th. But it says Arizona Theater Company makes Naughty and Nice. And it says, Nice, McFadden in Christmas Carol, Naughty, May in Santaland Diaries. Why is there a difference? Is that the whole theme?
Well, the big difference is you can bring the kids to see my show. You can't bring the kids to see Ron's show.
Oh, okay.
Because it's David Sedaris, and, you know, he's a humorist, and it's based on his experience playing a Christmas elf during the holidays as an extra job.
Oh, how interesting. That's
very funny. Very.
And does that open, I think, the same day, basically? Or
that previews on Thursday, December 10th. And then we are running in rep. So you have to kind of go to the Arizona Theater Company website to get the specific details. But it runs right through. My show closes on the 26th. I think Ron's closes maybe the 23rd or 24th.
Wow. So really a great holiday treat for everyone to see two great shows.
Yeah. And a really cool thing. Instead of the audience sitting in the house at the Herberger's center stage, they're going to actually be sitting on the stage.
Oh.
So a configuration of risers custom built is going to be on stage.
Really?
At the Herber, yep. And then we'll be performing right in front of that.
So. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You know, now that you said that, I remember that being mentioned, but it had escaped my thoughts. Uh-huh. Wow, that's
so it's going to be intimate, because it'll seat 250 people.
Oh, wow. How awesome is that?
It's going to be cool.
Well, then we'll be able to really be able to see the expressions in your face and your body language and everything. You know, that was one of the things that we really liked when we were seeing a show over at the West Stage. Or Stage West.
Stage West,
Stage West. It was, you know, you were up close enough that you could really literally see faces and everything. Yeah. And so this is going to be incredible. We are so excited. Is there anything else that you want to make sure that we get out to our audience?
Oh, just that it's wonderful that you're supporting us, and please support local theater. You know, it's great that Arizona Theater Company's thrown this extra project into their season, and we're both really, really excited to be doing it. So please come see it.
Oh, yeah. We will definitely get people out there. And like I said, we'll be out there December, I think it was 13th.
Wonderful.
Yeah, 13th at 1. And but I do have the schedule. Yeah, the Santa Land Diaries. You're right. Preview Thursday, December 10th mm-hmm. at 7:30 p.m. Opening Saturday, December 12th, 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And closing Wednesday, December 23rd, 10 p.m. And, of course, yours previews December 11th at 8 p.m. Saturday, December mm-hmm. 12th at 1 p.m. And let's see. And also 4 p.m. December 12th. You're there. And then closing Sunday, December 26th at 1 p.m. We encourage everyone to get out there. Arizona Theater Company.
I was going to say, I have not had one miss with all the
shows
that
we
have seen.
Phenomenal.
With the Arizona Theater Company, and I'm from San Diego, and I've been very spoiled having, you know, the Old Globe and uh-huh. just so many different wonderful opportunities. And I was really surprised when I got here and was turned on to Arizona Theater Company. Incredible, incredible.
Mm-hmm. Great talent.
They do wonderful work.
Everything, everything we have seen has just been top notch. It's just absolutely phenomenal.
Great.
And we're so excited for your show.
Oh, yes, we are indeed. And Katie McFadden, thank you so much for calling. Did I say
that? You said it right. Thank you.
I got to give her some zzz.
Oh, some zen.
Yes.
And thank you so much. And hopefully we can meet you. We'll be out there. And I hope everything goes well. I know it will. And we're looking forward to it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie. Alrighty. Wow. This is going to be cool. Also, I want to go see Santa Land Diaries.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. It looks fun when I saw those pictures. But look at her. In this one, she's even doing the splits during Charlotte's Web.
Oh, my goodness. Great talent. No question about it. And this is what?
Breakthrough Entertainment Songs Made Scary by Horror Movies Christmas Edition. You can't get any more horror Christmas related than Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's what this is?
Making Christmas by Danny Elfman.
Elfman? Like Danny Elfman?
Hey, there you go. I'm sure he never heard that one before. But check out A Nightmare
Before Christmas.
Before Christmas.
No.
What?
Hey, is my line right now?
It's supposed to be a Christmas carol.
Well, am I supposed to do... Do you hear what I hear?
You're a little bit late for that.
I'm late on
that. Making Christmas time.
He's scary, Eric. He's a scary guy.
It's Christmas.
He's making the song scary.
He is so scary.
Making Christmas.
And we'll be right back.
Making Christmas. Making Christmas.
My hopes, my dreams, my fantasies.